Hello, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. We want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you. Or maybe you have joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony, you just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you will find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, your marriage, and your family. We love you guys, and we hope you enjoy the podcast.
I tell people, you just need to start saying it. You're waiting for goosebumps like people who are waiting on a burning bush before they think God's leading them. I said, the only burning bush you're going to see is if you get some lighter fluid and a match. You know, God's waiting on us to move. You know, so many times we're waiting on God to give us a sign. God said, I'll give you a sign. Go do something. If you're going the wrong direction, I'll talk to you. You know, sometimes we're led as much by what God doesn't say as what he does say. You know, if God's not saying no, get up and do something. Get up and begin to move. And so how you love is already laid out in the Word of God. We're given examples. You know, for the women, find mature women to teach you how. For the men, look how Christ loved you. It's the exact same way that you're going to love your spouse. Now, we don't read 1 Corinthians much anymore, but I want to read it today. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 talks about love. You know, it's a great love chapter. And here's what it says. It's talking about how. You know, technically, how do I do this? Because you can't tell them, well, wait till you feel an emotion. You know, one couple came in one time and said, we're not in love anymore. And I said, how do you know? She said, well, I just don't have that goosebump feeling like I used to have. I said, so goosebump equals love. Love equals goosebump. That's the algebraic equation. If you have goosebump, you have love. I said, you know, there's nothing in the Bible that says love's a goosebump. Not anywhere. I said, if you want a goosebump, I'll go buy you, you know, a chalkboard and we'll get some fingernails and we'll get you your own goosebump for right now. You know, make you an artificial goosebump till you get the real one back. But real love, you know, that's what we talked about in Proverbs 17:17. A friend, which is what your spouse ought to be, your best friend, loves at all times. A friend loves at all times. So you can think about getting married. You might want to check out the love life of the person you're getting ready to marry. You know, do they have the capacity? Because getting married won't give them the capacity. They've got to come with it. How do you know they love you? Well, are they committed? Do they love their mom and dad? Do they love their brothers and sisters? Do they love their neighbor? Do they love God? Because if they show no capacity for love, what do you think they're going to have for you? And there's just a good litmus test, you know, are they a person capable of giving love? Committed, even though they don't get anything back out of it? Even though they don't receive anything in return? Have they the ability to give love? You know, I used to tell people all the time, you know, if you're going to marry somebody, make sure you marry somebody that loves God more than you do. Very hard. A lot easier to try to catch up with somebody than try to pull somebody up to where you are. I think one of the first criteria, you better make sure they love God more than you do. If you're already in a marriage, here's a how list. You know, how do I love you? You know, we've talked about, of course I love you. You know, somebody says, you love me? Oh, of course I love you. Well, then we talked about, then you ought to be able to show that. You know, because if you really do, that's commitment, not a feeling. But now we're talking, well, how do you technically do it? We've talked about job descriptions, men and women. Look at 1 Corinthians 13. Here's what Paul wrote to the church at Corinth about love. He said, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, I am become as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Though I can speak with the angels' voices and tongues of men, you know, and that impress a lot of people. If I don't have love, it absolutely has no record in heaven. There is no advantage to it. It gets me nothing. There's nothing to my account. It doesn't help anybody at all. And though I have the gift of prophecy, can stand and prophesy incredible and great words and understand all mysteries, that nothing's hidden to me. I know all the secrets of the universe. And though I understand all knowledge, not some knowledge, though I were to understand why everything worked, from nuclear fission to why there's an eclipse, to what's going on in the universe with sunspots, to why DNA does what it does, though I had all knowledge and understood all mysteries and speak with the tongues of angels and men, and though I have all faith, so I could just speak to a mountain and it would move, and I could speak to that mountain and it would move because I had such incredible faith. He said, though I had all that. Can you imagine having all that ability? And he says, so I can remove mountains, and I have not love. He said, I am nothing. I don't know that we ever get that. I'm nothing. Though I can move a mountain by opening my mouth and pointing my finger and commanding it to move. Though I understood all the mysteries of the universe. You know, if you watch, you know, the History Channel and some channel where unsolved mysteries and all, though you understood every mystery. And somebody said, well, that's a mystery. No, it's not. I understand all mysteries. So I wonder why that is that way. And why are people doing this? I wonder why this thing makes that thing. And why are we having volcanoes or earthquakes? Well, I know because I have all knowledge. You know, I wonder what it likes to hear an angel talk. Well, I can speak with the tongues of angels. What it's like to hear somebody speak another language. Well, I can speak all languages. I have all faith, all knowledge, understand all mysteries. I speak with all the tongues of men. He says, if you have not love, God says, that's what God's saying. If you have not love, he said, I am nothing. That's incredible. Can you imagine the people that try to impress each other with the words and actions, the way they dress and think and talk and the jokes they tell and the things they've accomplished? He said, if you don't have love, those things don't mean a thing. Look what else it says. And though I would give all my goods to feed all the poor, and though I give my body to be burned as a martyr for something, if I have not love, it doesn't profit me one bit. Let me tell you what turns God's boat motor on. It is love. He said, I want you to love your neighbor like you love yourself. I want you to love me with all your heart, soul, and mind. I want you to love your enemies. Heap coals of fire on their head. I want you to love your wife. I want you to love your children. I want you to love your husbands. For God said, I'm not loving. God said, I'm not loving. I am love. It is what I am. It's what I do. It is me. You know what God is? God is love. And we're made in the image of God. He said, I expect you to do the same. And no less. Look what else it says here. He said, love is very long-suffering. Talk about how do I love? Well, very patient, very long-suffering. Well, I'm not putting up that. I've heard couples come in. I'm not putting up with this anymore. Well, it says love is long-suffering. Love is kind, not critical, bitter, and biting. Love is kind. Love doesn't envy. It doesn't envy what somebody else has got, you know. Love does not puff itself or vaunt itself up. Talk about itself all the time. Love thinks of others, not itself. Love is not puffed up. It does not behave unseemly. It seeks not its own. In other words, when somebody's full of love, you know, there's one scripture that says, mark the end of a perfect man, the end of that man is peace. You know, when somebody's full of God and full of love, they don't think about themselves. They don't talk about themselves because they know they're accepted in the beloved. I'm loved just like I am. I don't need to prove it to you. I don't have to try to get you to, pat me on the back or approve me or thank me. I don't need it because I'm already accepted by God. God loves me just like I am. Therefore, how can I be a blessing to you? How can I help you? What can I do for you today? Can I be of some service to you? Otherwise, you go through life very selfish, and people don't like selfish people. Even unbelievers, even heathen don't like selfish people. Nobody likes a selfish person. People love giving people. He said, it seeks not its own, is not easily provoked, thinks no evil. Love is not easily provoked. If I love you, well, bless your heart. You're having a bad day. What can I do to help? What can I do to ease your pain? What can I do to make this go better for you? Can I help you out in some way? Not, well, dear Lord, what am I going to do for you now? Oh, my goodness. No, dear. It's like, no, that's not love. Love, true love, the love of God, once you get a revelation of it inside, you know, it's going to cost. It's something where I'm going to have to do something. I need to do something. If I really love you, I'm going to do something. I'm going to put you first. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. In truth. Truth. It bears all things. What things? All things. What does it bear? Well, I'm not putting up with this anymore. Well, love bears all things. Love, true love, God's love, bears all things. Love believes all things. In other words, it's not thinking the best. Where people all of a sudden get suspicious of one another. I've seen this in relationships. And they come for counseling where they've lost trust. And they've not told the truth. They've told lies. All of a sudden it's like, oh, we've got a deficit here. How do we fix that? I tell them, you're just going to have to start acting like the Bible's true. You're going to have to think the best of the other person until proven wrong. You know, it's the way our court system is set up in this country, this great country of ours. The court system is set up so that you are innocent until proven guilty, which is biblical. I aim to think the best of you, you know, until you've proven otherwise. You know, I'm not to be suspicious of you. I'm to think the best of you until you prove otherwise. You know, that'll open up more doors for you in business and opportunity and family if you get your right attitude about that. It says, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. You know, there's one scripture that says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. One of the, I think, greatest tragedies in marriage is when you see marriages who have lost hope. They have no more hope for the future. They're so despondent and cast down. They don't think, we'll never get out of this mess. We'll never get out of debt. My kids will never stop rebelling. You know, my husband will never start going to church. My wife will never stop nagging. You know, they go through where they lose hope. You know, it says here that love hopes all things. Nobody knows, hey, we're coming out of this. God's got a better plan. God is a redeemer. He's a restorer. He forgives. He makes the devil pay back seven times. God loves us. We've got hope. If nothing else, we've got hope of a better tomorrow. Because God says we're going to go from faith to faith and glory to glory. That our best days are ahead of us, not behind us. And that is what hope does. hope, you know, comes back and says, all things. Man, we got hope. We've got hope. You know, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You got to have hope, you know, before faith can start to work. You know, Psalm 78, God said this, I made a law in Israel that you teach your children to the fifth generation that they might have hope in God. Where does hope come from? Teaching the Word of God. What happens when you teach the Word of God? You realize that God works with all different kinds of people. God works with liars and cheaters and murderers and fornicators and adulterers and backstabbers and gossipers. There are no perfect people. See, the devil's the accuser of the brethren. He's trying to convince you and me that God won't do anything for us because God doesn't love us because we've sinned so bad God won't ever do another thing for us. That's a lie. God saves sinners. God forgives sinners and redeems sinners. He's a restorer. God's out. There's an all-out rescue mission in heaven trying to save us, not kill us off. You understand? God's trying to help us, for God loves us, for God so loved the world. God would that not any perish. God's not want anybody to perish. He's given everybody an opportunity. That's why he said, I set before you life, death, blessing, or curse, and you choose. He said, I want you to have hope. Teach these children they might have hope, and they might not be as their fathers who had no hope, who are a stubborn and rebellious generation, who forgot my works and my wonders and my words, forgot my miracles, you know. It said, even though they were armed with bows and arrows, they turned back in the day of battle, for they had leanness in their souls. You know, you lose hope, you lose everything. I mean, where do you go? You ever dealt with a hopeless person? You ever tried to counsel a hopeless person? Boy, it's tough. It's almost impossible. Because faith has to have hope to work with, and you can't have hope if you don't have teaching. You got to have the Word of God. The Word of God puts hope back into your soul. That's why you need to be in a great local church and be sitting under your pastor and hanging out with other believers and reading your Bible and praying. You know, we still teach toddlers, read your Bible and pray every day and you'll grow, 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 you know. We're talking today about how do you love somebody. And there's a whole list of here. You know, you don't behave unseemly. You know, you're not easy to provoke. You don't think bad things about other people. And it's coming down to the end here and talks about, said it bears all things, believes all, hopes all things, endures all things. Incredible endurance. How long? Forever. Endurance. It says love never fails. How often? Never. How often does love fail? Never. If we have true love, said love never fails. But whether they be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease eventually. Whether there be all knowledge, it shall all vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, but Christ coming back for his church, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, he says, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. What is a child? Very selfish. What's the context of this? Love. What is a child? Selfish. I, my toy. You know, my ice cream, my thing, my deal, me. Don't touch him. My side of the seat. What is a child? When they were a child, said, when I was a child, I spoke. That's what we call, you know, people who are selfish and don't love. We call them thumbsuckers. They're little thumbsuckers. They may be 25, 40, but they're a thumbsucker. They're selfish. They're still a child emotionally because they have no capacity to give love. It's all what they want and what they can do. So how do you love? It's preferring your brother over yourself, preferring your spouse over yourself, your children. It's laying your life down for them, then you find your life. Until you lay it down, you don't find it, because it's more blessed to give than receive, the Bible says. It goes, this says, but when I became a man, I pulled away childish things. It says, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then when Jesus appears, we'll see face to face. Now I know in part, but then I'll know as I am known, and now abides faith, hope, and love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Is that not incredible? Now, if you want to, you ought to go back and take your pencil and paper and go through 1 Corinthians 13 and just make you a modern-day version list of how love works. It doesn't keep written record of wrong done. Doesn't think evil. That's how. God said, not only do I tell you to love, command you to love, but I'm going to tell you how to love. Father, I pray you give us wisdom today as husbands, wives, moms, dads, boys and girls, how to live the love life, because you said the love life will never fail. And Father, it's not something we have to work up. It's been shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Father, to be able to walk in love and have victory. Amen.
Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family, and we are here to help you get there. Make sure and go to our website, joemcgeeministries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it. All there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.